John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. My colleague, Michael Yon, war correspondent, at @Michael_Yon. Michael is in Panama City. He traveled there with representatives of the Embarra people. In fact, the mayor or governor general of one of the two large settlements of Embarra on the Panama side of the border line. And what I'm learning from Michael is that these are educated. In fact, Michael, you told me that the mayor of this settlement was educated in America. Did he share with you where he went to college?
Yes, he went to college at Fort Hood Community College in Mount Hood. I'm sorry, I'm thinking Army stuff here. At Mount Hood Community College in Gresham, Oregon. And so he went for 2 years there and then came back and preferred to be back in Darien. So he's back here.
And he has the English. So what does he make of this refugee flow? Does he comment that it's heavier than it used to be, that it's always been this way, 373 people a day from all over the world? Did he speculate about why it's happening?
Well, he realizes the political changes of just, you know, occurred in the United States, but they really seem to be sort of introverted here. In other words, the people, the Embarra people are not, they're not looking at the news. I mean, they don't have electricity in these villages, right? They don't have, they're not watching CNN or any of that stuff. They're just out there being Embarra people. And so they're not tracking a lot at all on what's happening beyond, you know, 10 miles away.
But they are making money on it. They are prospering. Is that correct?
They're making some good money in some of those villages. That's a fact. And we're trying to figure out just how much the average migrant has to pay. Let's say if they start in Ecuador and go through Colombia, or maybe start in Brazil and go through Colombia, go through the gap, go through Panama, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, get up to Honduras, Guatemala, and then Mexico, and finally into the United States. We really don't know how much this cost them, but we're going to figure it out. It may take some time.
The people who get money at the Western Union or in Bajo Chiquito, they're now carrying dollars with them as they go into the refugee camps. What happens after they get the refugee camps? How do they get to Costa Rica?
Well, they will be taken by bus by the Cinefront. So they'll take them by bus from either Las Blancas or from San Vicente, because there's the two camps. Remember, the village that they emerge from the Darien Gap and go into, where there's Western Union, that's Bajo Chiquita, Bajo Chiquito. That's the village where they emerge and come out, and finally get a cold drink if they can get a Western Union. And then from there, they go to the two camps. And then at those two camps, if they are medically fit enough, they'll be taken by bus to the border up by Costa Rica. They'll be out processed from Panama, taken to Costa Rica. Costa Rica then, you know, rinse and repeat.
Right.
Takes them up to Nicaragua, does the same thing. So, you know, all along the way, they have to pay.
Does Panama charge for that bus ride?
That's right. Now, they are supplying food. The Cinefront does give food to people that can't – they're not letting them go hungry. And, and the camps actually look pretty clean on the inside. So, I mean, they seem to be actually taking care of them once they get into the camps.
And when they get to Costa Rica, they're handed off to Costa Rican Border Patrol, and that Border Patrol puts them into, presumably, refugee camps, and they repeat again, they bust them to Nicaragua. Is that true?
That's right. Then they end up in Nicaragua north and into Honduras and Guatemala.
Did you get a sense, Michael, from talking to anyone or the mayor of the Embarra mayor, that these people are well informed of the travel ahead of them, that they're following others who've made this trip, that they're educated about the risks they're taking? Is there any sense that they do this with foreknowledge?
Well, remember the Ecuadorian adventurer? His name is Rody Sanchez, and I got him on video. He said he was just doing it for adventure. He's 28 years old, but he said it was much more difficult than he imagined. He looked pretty fit. He looked pretty athletic. And he said it was a lot harder than he imagined, and he recommends nobody ever do this. And then minutes after I finished talking with him, three Venezuelans came up to me, and they were very emotional, saying how dangerous it is. I've got this on video. They were, you know, practically shouting and saying, don't come here. You'll get raped. You'll get murdered. Everybody gets robbed. Why are they letting people do this? You know, these guys were going on and on and on. They wanted to be on video, and they wanted to warn the world, do not go through the Darien Gap.
What about news, Michael? They have their iPhones or their Androids, some of them. They certainly get the news that the Mexican border with the United States is shut, that there are tens of thousands of people camped on the Mexican side hoping to get through. Do they see that news, and what do they comment on it, Michael?
Some clearly know about it. For instance, the adventurer from Ecuador, he clearly knew about it.
Right.
One of the Indian men, the Sikh man I talked with, he knew about it. Quite a few do know about it. Others, they have no idea.
So they're going to make this trip regardless. They've gotten through the scary part of the Darien Gap, and ahead of them are bus trips or truck trips across several sovereign states to get to Mexico, and then they have to cross all of Mexico and reach the Texas or the New Mexico or the Arizona border. Michael Yon. Michael is a war correspondent. Michael underline Yon is his Facebook address and his Twitter address. We will talk to Michael again as he makes his way towards the Mexican border. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.